And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, we are on the cusp of the election. Well, actually, we're in the middle of the election, but it ends in a few days. And since we don't know how it's going to turn out, why don't we ruminate a little bit on what the two parties, how they pursued this election, and what you think might happen as a result of that. And then next week we can see if you were right.
Okay, see if you're right.
All right.
First of all, we had the tradition, which is that whichever party has the presidency loses seats in the midterm.
Right.
And that tradition is rarely broken. Barack Obama got shellacked, that was his word, in 2010. And we're still feeling the repercussions of that, by the way.
That was the Tea Party.
That was the Tea Party. Get
the government hands off my Medicaid.
Yes.
My Medicare.
My Medicare.
Right.
Yeah. But, going into this, there were signs that it may not be so bad for the Democrats because the Republicans were nominating less likable candidates, candidates more extreme. As a matter of fact, the Democrats aided and abetted some of that stuff. However, the prediction was the Democrats might hold the Senate and the Republicans could get the House, but maybe not by much. And then the Dobbs decision came down on the abortion, and we had a shift of enthusiasm and a shift of things that kind of lasted through the summer, where you saw engagement by women, students, and what have you. And don't forget, the Biden administration had a couple of victories and did a couple of things. They did something with the student loans. And they were going to do something on marijuana. They did, and they got through a bill that Joe Manchin finally agreed to. And that seemed to bolster the Democratic chances. And then, sometime probably around late September, the tide looked like it started to change. The Republicans started coming home to roost, as they usually do. My political science professor in college told us two things about the Republicans that I've always found to be true. And one is that the Republicans tend to stick more with the Republicans than Democrats stick with Democrats. And the other thing he said, he thought that the genius of American politics was that it was a winner-take-all, and you didn't have these proportional or broken-up parties like you do in Europe or in Israel, the Italian or the Israeli elections, which we're not going to get into today. But anyhow, and money started pouring back in. You know, there was a fight there. Peter Thiel was not funding J.D. Vance. He wasn't funding Blake Masters anymore once he got him through the primaries. But then he changed his mind. He started putting money in. And
not much, only $20
million. Well, $20 million still could carry a lot. And then the Republicans, started bucking up their candidates. And what we've seen in the last couple of weeks, and it seemed to be accelerating a little bit, you're getting the vibe, the same vibe that we got in 2010 or in the last couple weeks in 2016 after the Comey announcement, that things were kind of falling apart for the Democrats and going for the Republicans. And we're seeing some signs of that, where the Republicans seem to have expanded their attacks. They're going after the governorship of New York, which nobody thought they could have. Matter of fact, Sean Patrick Maloney, who was the head of the Congressional Campaign Committee for the Democrats, thought he was in a safe district. He's in a fight. There are four districts in California that are held by Democratic moderates that there's problems with. I think Katie Porter is one of them, and it would be a shame to lose her. There's in Michigan and in Virginia and in what have you, the Republicans are pressing with a lot of money. Even on the state side, they're pouring money into some of the state races around here, down in Luzerne County, Eddie Pashinsky's district and Mike Carroll's old district, they're trying to grab wins. And we've seen Blake Masters come back up in Arizona. We've seen the gubernatorial and the Secretary of State candidates in Arizona looking like they could be winners. Ohio is still back and forth with J.D. Vance and Ryan there, but you just don't know. Wisconsin, as loathsome and as unliked as Ron Johnson seems to be, it looks like he's going to pull out another victory, despite the fact that they don't like him there because the Democrats seem to have stumbled. Matter of fact, Wisconsin, there's been the threat that they could actually win in the state because it's so gerrymandered, a veto-proof majority. And also, we heard their gubernatorial candidate. There's a sitting Democratic governor there. But the Republican candidate says, elect me and there'll never be another Democrat elected to statewide office there. And then you see things that the Democrats should be totally ashamed of. Miami-Dade County, which was the heaviest Latino, not just Cuban, but other Latino districts, heavily Democratic. And right now, it looks like Ron DeSantis is going to carry that county and carry other people with him. Southwest Texas, which has been leaning, which is heavily Latino also. I mean, the fact that the Democrats don't know how to win their natural constituency is not just a tragedy, it's an indictment of their policies. And I was listening, or their political malpractice. I was listening to a conversation with Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, this week, and he's been out there attacking Democrats. He's been out there attacking Republicans and taking the fight to them. And he says, you know, we still have the same old problem. The Democrats don't know how to have a coherent message, and they keep emphasizing things that the voters don't want, and they keep playing defense instead of offense. You and I have talked about these things ad nauseum over the years. So the question is, will it come home to roost this year? If the Republicans...
Let me interrupt you for a minute. Yeah. Who are you talking about? The Democrat. That's an amorphous word. Yeah. Who's doing it? When you attack the Democrats, it's hard to know where to train your fire. Who are you talking about?
Well, that's the thing. I think you have to talk about not only their leadership, Schumer, Pelosi, the Biden team, but I think you have to talk about their campaign strategists and the people who do their focus grouping. It seems like
that's all part of the same group, right? I mean,
more or less. Yeah. Yeah.
I know that in my county, where I know a good deal about what the Democratic Party is doing, I can tell you that I can summarize it in one word: nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. There is no campaign by the party. There might be a campaign by this candidate or that candidate if this candidate or that candidate can himself or herself raise enough money to mount a campaign. And it may be that the party insiders might help this or that candidate in her campaign. But there's no party campaign. There's no party organization. I had four people who contacted me to find out how they could help out the Fetterman campaign this last week. And they called the chairman of the party, they called the party office holder, they called the head of the campaign committee of the party. Nobody responded because there was nothing to tell them. There was nothing to do. Now, it turned out Fetterman doesn't have his own campaign organization here, but it also is the case that the local party has no campaign here. So what expect? What's it like in Lackawanna County?
Well, Lackawanna County, they've been working. Matt Cartwright, I think, has a pretty strong ground game. And, you know, he's cooperating with the other campaigns. The party has, they picked a visible site to have their headquarters. and there have been people there, but I'm still not, you know, sure how strong the overall ground game is for the party in general. I, for instance, I took training by the state. The Democrats in the state did a statewide training for observers, poll watchers, in effect. Now, I didn't really need much of that. I've been doing that on and off for years and years and years. I mean, 30, 40 years. But, you know, and when it was over, they said they'd send out credentials. And I've got no credentials as of now. That was since last Sunday. So I went into the Cartwright headquarters and I said, can you get me credentials? They said, no, talk to the Democrats down on the corner. I went in there and they said, talk to the Cartwright people. And I've got some ins with the Cartwright people, but then I finally got a text saying you should get something by Sunday, which is cutting it kind of close. And observers, I think we have to talk about observers because there is a lot of potential for intimidation. Now, the Republicans were threatening and to have observers placed in Philadelphia, in the black wards of Philadelphia, to try to intimidate people. The problem that they have is that an observer's credentials are only good for the county that you're in. So all these Proud Boys types and all these you know, macho men who live in your neck of the woods or in the center part of the state, if they want to go down there and try to look rough and tough, it ain't going to work in Pennsylvania. We have the spectacle of what's happening in Arizona, where a judge finally issued an order limiting what those people in camouflage gear and armed are outside ballot boxes, you know, and taking pictures of people's cars. And it's interesting, they've covered their own license plates up. And the judge put some limitations on them. So we'll see. But you don't see Democrats going into Republican areas and harassing their people. Of course, you know.
That won't stop the Republicans from saying that that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
After all, they said it was left-wingers, Antifa, who staged the riot on January 6th. They still say it.
They still say that. Yeah, they still say that. You know, I was. It's just the asymmetric warfare that goes on in these things.
It's not asymmetric. It's one-sided on the part of the Republicans. I don't see that the Democrats either defend or offend, so to speak.
They're afraid of offending people. And there's one thing that, and it seems more universal, that people respect, and that is a showing of strength. And it doesn't have to be, having guns, whatever. It shows that you're willing to fight for what you want.
That's one of the reasons for lawn signs. If the other side has 1,000 lawn signs out and you have none, you get intimidated.
Yeah. You figure, what's the use?
What's the use? There's nobody on my side.
There's just, you know.
And by the way, it's very, I know you know this. I just want to remind everybody who may be listening and who hasn't quite remembered this. The Republicans have a pretty fair idea of what they would like to achieve if they get the majority in the House and Senate.
Right.
They want to get rid of Social Security. They want to get rid of Medicare. They want to get rid of Medicaid. And they're going to do it all with the line that these are entitlements that disturb your character, that make you a lesser human being, that force you to be dependent. You shouldn't have health care or anything else for that matter.
Well, it's socialism. They've used different arguments. It was communistic, and then it was socialism. And socialism played a big part in the 2020 campaign. They used that word. But now, as you said, they've shifted a little bit, that it's a character issue.
They're not kidding about it. The guy who was going to be the Speaker of the House, he said it. The guy who's the head of the Republican Senate Campaign Committee, he said it. The guys who were in the extreme right-wing caucuses, they said it. They are unified on this. They will try to do this.
Yeah. And, of course, it won't happen because you have Joe Biden. But what they're going to try to do is attach it to bills that make it difficult for Biden to veto.
Well, what they're going to say is you can't raise the debt limit. You can plunge the country into bankruptcy, but you got to get rid of Medicaid. You got to get rid of Social Security. Or at the very least, you got to make it renewable every few years.
For a few years, or you got to change it to 70, and you know, Medicare as well. And of course, what happens is, and there's studies on this, on Medicare, the people that are the Democratic constituency, the college educated, it doesn't matter as much to them because they have longer lives. But if you're a working man, if you put in a hard day's work, physical labor, your life expectancy tends to be a lot less. And if you can't retire at 65, you might not make it to 70.
That's right.
On things like that. Now, I want to mention something else because, about what Republicans want or what they don't want. We've known this, and I don't know why the Democrats haven't exposed this. Don't forget, for years and years and years, the Republicans have been tarnishing the Democratic brand. They've been attacking Democrats, they call it the Democrat Party, the Rush Limbaugh attack on that, and the Rush Limbaugh attack on liberalism, which is why they changed their tune to progressives. But now the Republicans attack progressives as woke. They know how to label things in a negative way. But the Democrats don't go out there. They keep hoping that they can draw enough Republican votes to matter instead of really, really driving people away from the Republican Party with things or driving the independents away. And Congressman Bill Pascrell from New Jersey compiled a list of things. And the Democrats should be emphasizing this not just during election time, but every day in between elections and imprinting it on the public. And these are the things that the Republicans in the last few years have voted against. 100% voted against cheaper gas. 100% voted against cheaper insulin. Remember that the Democrats got past the $35 cap on insulin? 100% voted against cheaper prescription drug prices for Medicare. And that's a big business thing, by the way. That's the thing that you say, hey, it's good business to be able to negotiate for that. 100% voted against child tax credits. 100% of Congress now, House and Senate, voted against the stimulus checks. 100% voted against Voting Rights Act. You remember the Voting Rights Act used to be passed almost unanimously. 100% voted against ending gerrymandering. 100% of the Republicans voted against fighting climate change. 100% of them in Congress voted against prosecuting rich tax cheats. They've tried to turn around. The Democrats finally got money to hire 87,000 new agents who would be able to check the tax returns of the millionaires and billionaires instead of just being able to check the low-hanging fruit of ordinary people. And the Republicans say, oh, that's going to affect ordinary people. It isn't. They're against that because they want to protect the tax cheats, their constituency, the rich. 100% vote against saving Roe versus Wade. 99% voted against banning assault weapons. I mean, that kind of thing pulls in the 80s from both Democrats and Republicans.
But not in the NRA.
No. 99% voted against fighting domestic terrorism. 96% voted against keeping birth control legal. 96% voted against gun background checks. I think that goes even higher than assault weapons. 94% voted against more baby formula. I mean, really?
You voted against baby formula?
Yeah, when they were trying to fund getting more baby formula from Europe and things like that. 87% voted against stopping domestic violence.
Wait a minute, but these are the family values people?
Yeah, well.
These are the anti-abortionists? These are the ones everybody should be born?
Pro-life.
Everybody, every mother, every person who becomes pregnant should be forced to give birth, but no baby formula?
No. 84% voted against veterans' cancer care. 77% voted against same-sex marriage, and 68% voted against upholding the election.
What a group.
Yeah.
And they've announced that if they get control of the House, they're going to spend all their time investigating Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
Who cares about Hunter Biden?
Well, but they're going to make it sound like it's important. That's the thing.
I know. Jim Jordan released a report on Friday about Hunter Biden, a 1,000-page report, he said. Actually, somebody looked at it. There were 1,000 pages released. There were 43 pages in the report, and there were 957 pages of signatures and of letters that had nothing to do with the report, supporting the report.
Making it look good.
Yeah. But this is how they're going to carry on over the next couple of years if they get the majority.
Right. Fox will do it. It was the same thing, the way they attacked Hillary, Benghazi, 11 hearings. They got nowhere, but they're going to do that.
They're all in favor of the military, but the head of the elections committee of the Wisconsin legislature introduced a lawsuit on Friday to bar veterans from voting because she says the military doesn't keep adequate records of who's eligible. So no veteran should be able to vote. How about that?
It's each state that does it, not the military.
I don't want you interrupting with these kinds of detailed facts.
You know, the military's been voting by mail since the Civil War, when in 1864 they voted for Lincoln more than they voted for General McClellan.
Well, there you go. There was a big mistake.
A big mistake.
Right.
But they voted Republican.
Right, that's true.
But, of course, the parties have changed in those days.
Yes.
You know, we keep forgetting that the Republican governors issued a lawsuit saying that you can't forgive student loans.
That's right. You didn't mention that in your list.
I know. Because it didn't come up for a vote. It was a thing, but they, you know, people should know that. Relief for students. These are the things the Republicans are, but shame on the Democrats for not letting people know that.
That's exactly right.
Everybody
knows, because everybody who's polled it has reported it, and everybody's read it, the economy is uppermost in the minds of people, right? For a worker, you talk about the economy, he's not thinking about macroeconomics, he's thinking about his paycheck. He's thinking about whether he's got a job or he can get a better job or whatever the job is, whether he's going to get enough pay. I don't see the Democrats demanding an easier life for unions so that they can negotiate higher pay, or demanding that the minimum wage should be raised, or demanding that there should be living wage legislation. I don't see any of that. Whenever they do talk about it, you'd think they were a college seminar. That's not how people think about it. They think about it in terms of their paycheck.
You know, double Dr. Oz wouldn't say he'd raise the minimum wage. He said, well, that's just for the, for the employers to let the marketplace take
it. Trump said that the wages were too high anyway.
Yeah.
When he was running, somebody asked him, what do you think about the rate of wages? He said, they're too high. We should not be raising them. That was in 2016.
Inflation is a problem. There's no question about it. The Democrats should have an answer to that. You know, there's one thing worse than having inflation, and that's having inflation without a job. And we've created more jobs for more people than any president in the last, 40 years, 50 years? If you saw the statistics, Biden's got over 10 million, was it 10.7 million new jobs?
Yeah.
You tell people.
The only way to do better than that is to start a war.
Well, the Republicans don't want to get involved in the war in Ukraine, or some of them don't. Some don't.
Well, I don't want to get involved in a war either. I'm not in favor of war. Who in his right mind wants a war? But war as a economic stimulus is equivalent to getting cancer as a way to lose weight.
Yeah. And don't forget that it's not the United States starting the war. It's an issue of democracy and autocracy on those things.
Americans are not thinking about it. The voters are not thinking about war. No. That's not in the uppermost.
They think about what's at the gas pump.
That's right. Now at my gas pump, gas is already $4.20 right now, today.
Yeah.
That's already 50 cents more than I paid last week. 50 cents.
And I don't understand that. I don't understand that because the average around the country is down. It's about $3.20-something.
That's a dollar less.
I know it's
a dollar a gallon less. What is the story here?
I don't know. I can go to some places. There's where I live in Clark Summit. There's two gas stations across the street from each other, and one is at 419, and the other's at 399, and yeah. they're both name brands. Yeah. They're both name brands. It's not off-brand stuff. It's not like Sheetz or some other group.
Sheetz is at $4.
Yeah, Sheetz is at around four.
Couple of pennies more than $4.
Yeah. So.
But I was down in Jersey last week, and gas was $3.52.
Yeah, I saw $3.65 down there. I think I paid $3.85.
But that's the point. Everybody sees these kinds of things. And that's right. When you talk about the economy, that's what they're talking about. The Democrats haven't said anything about that. Not Biden. I mean, it's all right to talk. Yeah. You know, the democracy is endangered. I agree with them. Democracy is endangered. But meanwhile, you got to live.
Yeah. And they never pivoted off that, or very little pivoting off the Dobbs decision. They thought that was going to carry them through because it was the women are their constituency. You know, you can walk and chew gum at the same time. You can have than one argument.
That's right. You can have more than one argument. That's exactly right. Because the Republicans are bad across the board. They also have one argument, more than one argument, and it's all bad.
Yeah.
Well, and when I say bad, I mean it directly diminishes the living standards and the life opportunities of most of the American people. That's what's bad.
What? How about human dignity?
And yes, as to throw it in, yes. That's right. And they don't back off. They tell you that's good.
Right.
Well, it's not good.
They double down. They never, like you said, they never play defense. They always come back to offense. And like I said, it's shame on the Democrats for not knowing how to address this time and time and time again. Top down. You know, they think top down instead of bottom up.
Well, you got to imagine that they're reflecting on their own life experience. These are privileged people who have always been privileged. They mean well, but they really don't get it. They really don't get it. And, it's time for 70 and 80-year-olds to step aside.
You're talking about anybody on this program?
Well, me, but...
I'm in my 70s.
Well, you're not in power. But again, you're not in power. If you were in power, maybe I'd tell you to step aside, but you're not in power.
But we have the collective memory. We remember what the United States used to be.
Yeah, that's right.
And what it could be. You know, life didn't begin in the year 2000.
I remember that what my parents remembered was that when you got to be 70, if before Social Security, your future for most people was poverty and an almost immediate death because there was no health care. And then came Social Security, and it revolutionized people's living abilities. You had the ability to live.
Yeah, and Medicare,
these Republicans,
life expectancy went way up.
Yeah, and now life expectancy is going down.
Yeah.
In America.
Particularly among the Republican constituency.
Yeah, because they live in states that are cutting out Medicaid and expanded Medicaid.
And also because of the COVID in these states. Yeah. That they discourage people from getting vaccinated.
That's right. So vote Republican and end your life. Yeah. How about that? How's that for a slogan? Vote Republican and end your life.
It gives new meaning to the word die for your country.
Yeah, exactly. But you're not dying for your country. You're dying for Exxon. You're dying for whoever is making the big pharma pills. The drug companies, right. That's who you're dying for. And for racists. And for racists.
Yeah.
Why do you want to do that? Wake up. Well, the voting comes to an end in a few days. The count should be over by the time we're ready to talk next week. Substantially over anyway in many places. So we'll have a chance to see whether what you said and what I said about the danger of the election come to pass.
Yep. Vote. If you haven't voted, vote.
Vote early. Vote often.
Often. The old thing.
Yep. See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.